The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
If you want to pump your body and expand your mind, there's only one place to go. Mind Pump. Mind Pump. With your hosts, Sal DiStefano, Adam Schaefer, and Justin Andrews.
I would like to discuss the weekend.
The weekend.
I had a great time with you guys.
Debauchery.
We were at the, we should tell the Mind Pump listeners, that we were at a pool party. We were invited with a bay club. And got hooked up with we were with Craig Caperso and Mr. Ben Zorn from The Bachelorette. And we drank a little bit of alcohol, I think.
Yeah, we were a little tipsy-turvy.
Just a little bit.
Jumping in the pool, wrestling, and acting a fool.
Yeah. I'm like, let's do a shot. And I'm thinking, I'm going to have a shot of like a fireball or something like that. And Justin and Adam could just inform me how big of a pussy I am.
He wanted to do a blowjob shot is what he wanted to do. And Justin and I were like, we're going to do a manly shot.
I don't need
shot,
whipped
bro.
Cream all over my face.
Yeah, so we did a shot of, what was that, Black Label?
Yeah, Johnny Walker. Which
Johnny, it's fucking...
It's a faux pas to begin with.
Bro, it's like doing a shot
sip
of...
it.
Really?
Yeah,
how can
bro.
You sip that?
Dude, because that's what old guys do. They drink scotch on the rocks.
Bro,
the
enamel on my teeth came off. I had to go to the fucking dentist.
It wasn't that bad. Actually, I was glad that at least it was whiskey. So anything else would have been... Like, let's be honest. Jaeger is just pure concentrated evil.
I'll do Jaeger.
It's like tar evil.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Why?
Yeah. It just fucks you up like
oh,
instantly.
Really? Why don't we do that?
Because I wanted to like
tastes
be
like
social.
Rotten, tastes like rotten black licorice, bro.
Delicious.
Oh, yeah.
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 Yeah. And then things got a little weird. We got in the pool.
what do you mean? You guys were like, yeah, you guys were hugging and
me and Adam were
floating
trying to,
together.
We were trying to ride the floating, the flotation. What was that? It was like a pontoon
like
or something.
It was like a hot dog.
It looked like a big hot dog.
What are the names for those?
Hot dog.
What's the name for those?
Adam gets on there and he's like, hey, get on the back. I'm like, that's a fucking great idea.
Yeah.
You know, that's what happens when you drink.
It is a great idea.
You think it's a good idea.
And everybody wanted to race.
And then we...
Especially Adam.
Oh, don't bring that up.
Oh.
He's still a butthurt over there.
Dude, don't even talk some shit right now, bro.
Why?
We should talk about what
happened. Talk some shit.
No, bro, you did good. Yeah. You totally did good.
Bro, listen. It wasn't even a good or bad thing. It was the fact that...
No, you were just like on liquid courage. You're like, let's go! In the pool.
You were doing good and then you decided to go hella slow all of a sudden. I don't know why.
Yeah, but let's, yeah.
So Adam gets, did you challenge them to a pool race?
No, so what happened was some guy, we were all sitting around drinking and I was talking with Craig and we were joking around and some dude gets in the pool and he's like, you know, this is like a pool party, right? It's like, you know, Vegas type scene, right? Where just everyone's drinking and swimming around and goofing off and having fun. And this dude shows up and he's like our age, right? Maybe a little bit younger even. And he's got like his Speedo shorts on and his Speedo hair, his hair cap and his like goggles. And he's like,
and you wanted to punk.
And
him
he's, yeah, he was doing fast. He's like swimming laps and like, you know, calling his buddies out.
But he had a bunch of girls with him that were kind of like,
so I told Craig,
oh, you're so fast.
I told Craig.
So Adam's like, oh, hell no, I'm about to go.
You shaved for this, didn't you?
Yeah. I told Craig, I said, hey, go tell that guy over there that you put money on me that you're big fat.
So you
buddy.
Started it?
Yeah, I started it. I told Craig to do that, right? So then, Craig's so goddamn competitive.
No. Craig, what was Craig thinking? He's not have a swimmer's body.
It doesn't even matter. He's so competitive. He looks at me.
He
goes,
made it all the way and then just stopped on the way back. Didn't even like.
Bro,
finish.
Craig swims like a rock.
I know. That's what I mean. He can't even float.
Yeah.
he actually made it down there pretty fast. That was pretty impressive. Yeah,
because it was gas out.
It was pure horsepower.
Yeah. He was the guy
full
that
throttle.
The guy that was, you know, Mr. Swimmer dude and his Speedo cap and everything like that. Craig was right with him the whole time.
Well, you actually dusted that guy.
Well, okay.
It was the other guys that were in there.
First of all, that was the first time I ever lost in the pool. I just had you guys. I'm going to put this out there. Now,
second time you've raced in your life. First time you lost.
Yeah,
no, right. I'm just kidding.
So I've never once swam in my life except for like goofing around like this in the pool.
Like, and you never swam competitively. You never were on a swim team. No,
I never even swam as a kid like that. You know, we had pools. I swam in pools.
Bro, can I just tell you something real quick? What? All joking aside, I know I'm talking shit right now. The two guys that you lost to, who both tied each other, by the way, so you kind of, you actually got second place.
He was doing like that butterfly.
Those guys, one of those guys is a high level, or both of them are high level college swimmers, competitive.
They're both brothers. One's from San Diego State, went to a full ride scholarship on swimming, and the other one went to Arizona State.
So here's what I'm going to say. Here's what I'm going to say, bro. I hate to say this. I hope you don't feel offended, but I think you made a massive mistake in your choice of career. Because you're fast as fuck for never swimming and for being a big ass gorilla in the pool. Because those guys were streamlined. You're taking up two lanes with your shoulders, and he fucking was fast. And you didn't know how to do the, turn.
Flip turn is where they got me.
Up, and you're like, what? Oh yeah,
he's fast. I was shocked at how fast Adam is in the pool.
No, yeah, he was blazing.
Yeah,
right out of the
gate. I bet you could have gone far. I bet you could have been Olympic, bro.
I know. All right, bro. I know it would have been pretty decent.
Wow.
I know that.
Wow, Sal.
Just because.
Really?
Yeah, I know. He went from being competitive all the way to Olympian. I don't know about that. But.
No, I'm going too far.
Why don't you take your head out of his crotch?
I do know that. I have raced people that have done Ironman that have raced competitively.
And you dust them.
But those guys were. He was legit, dude. Normally I have room for air. And I can do the flip turn. I've never done it, like, been taught it. I've done it, like, watching TV, and I'm like, oh, this is how these guys do this. So I can, like, I can do it, like, 50% of the time. Half the time, I miss the side, right? So I'm like, well, I better be safe and just touch the rail and then come back in and then go back the other way. But I didn't know when we raced. I didn't know these guys were swimmers. I just thought they were, you know, tall, built, you know, body types like it. But I'm like, yeah, that didn't scare me away. I'm like,
You know why I kind of knew they were swimmers? Because they were pretty fit, right? They were fit. They were kind of long looking, and then they didn't have legs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They really didn't have any legs.
Yeah, you're right.
You know what I'm saying?
So I'm torso and arms.
Yeah. So I'm like, they have to be either swimmers or they work out in the gym like douchebags. Apparently, they were swimmers.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Really good, too.
Yeah.
And that took everything in me to try and stay with those guys, man. I was gassed.
Bro, but you were so funny because then we get home. And of course, you did this drunk. We were all tipsy.
Yeah.
Then you get home and then the techs start. You know, hey, guys, I totally, if I did that turn, I could have totally won. He sends us the video. He goes, look, I kept up with him.
Oh, man.
It was like 10 techs. Like, you were seriously irritated.
Oh, I get it, though. Once you put yourself like, okay, I'm competing.
Yeah.
It's, you know, like, you do it to win.
Oh, I'm competitive. I'm competitive as shit, bro.
Yeah, it doesn't matter what it is.
So you didn't do a.
That's why I don't commit to anything. You know, like, if you see me commit to something, it's like, oh,
I'm gonna win.
I'm winning.
Yeah, you didn't do a Sal though. See, this is, you know how I would have handled that shit. I would have lost. I would have come out and I'd been like, hey,
go talk.
Let's go deadlift. Let's go see who can. I would have just found another competition. I'm like, I'm gonna fucking beat you at something before we leave today. You know what I mean? Hey, you guys want to arm wrestle for fun? Yeah. You know what I mean? That's what I would have done.
Nonetheless, though, it was fun. It was fun.
We had a great time.
Super talented. No, it was a good time out there for sure.
It was a good time. So we were out there with a bunch of really, you know, we got Ben Zorn from The Bachelorette, which, by the way, women go stupid for him.
Yeah.
Like, and I'm not being like funny. I'm serious. They go stupid. If you look at the comments under his pictures and shit.
Interesting.
Including your wife,
it's interesting
bro.
To watch.
Oh, and my wife took a picture. Yeah. Actually, I told her, I brought her over and wanted, because I know she's a fan of it. So,
yeah.
And I want her to be like, oh, it's cool that you're doing Mind Pump. And, you know, I get to meet all these handsome dude, so you know what I mean. It's all part of the plan. So we're all there, and it was a good time, dude. But God, there was one guy who was getting fucking hit on left and right.
Ben Zorn.
No.
Oh, Justin.
Justin.
Yeah. Oh, I know. What
Justin was about? Getting. Bro, that lady, that 50-year-old lady, was totally.
Yeah, man.
Totally flirting with. Well,
the one in the pink bathing suit.
Yeah,
that one.
Yeah, she just kept talking to him.
My stuff. Yeah. I don't even know what she was talking about. I was like, oh yeah, yeah.
Well, I don't know if you read.
Right.
I don't know if you read.
And this, he's a
the
know,
post that
you're a magnet.
So Ben Z puts up the post, the picture of all of us
By the pool,
right? And you get 14 billion comments and stuff, whatever. And Katrina was like going through and reading them while we were driving.
Oh, did you read the one about Justin?
Oh, there's like five of them.
Yeah.
Oh, the guy in the A's hat.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. And then one of them's like, who's the guy turning around and showing us his butt? And then, like, little heart. She's a little heart emoticon after.
Yeah. I got humps.
Yeah, dude.
Lovely lady humps.
You do have humps.
They do. Love me some Justin.
I told you. It's like, maybe it's a small, but it's a raving fan base.
You know
what I mean? It's like, I corner that market.
I don't know, bro. I think you're trying to pretend.
Corner the market, bro.
I don't think we can call you Duff anymore. I think that's for sure.
Hey, he's buff now.
Yeah, buff.
He's just buff.
Yeah, butt ugly fat friend.
No, just buff with the literal meaning of buffed.
Okay, I'll take it.
Yeah, sexy man.
Hey, are we gonna do this show or what?
Let's do this. So Adam wants to talk about how he trains muscles to shape them a certain way, to look a certain way, and it's a little bit of a different philosophy than the one that I tend to espouse. Mm-hmm. Or even the one that Justin goes with.
Did you thesaurus your way through that one?
Did you? Yeah. Can you espouse a muscle?
No. Espouse means how you explain the things that I talk about.
No, I just like the word.
That, yeah, I get it, but I don't think you put it in the right spot.
No, I did. I said I think you just, it's differently than the way I espouse. The way
you
that
just
I talk
inserted
about
a word, bro.
Mi esposa.
No, I didn't.
You can't do that, dude.
I totally listen.
Just because you are a nerd and you read the encyclopedia doesn't mean you just get to get random words and be like,
I used it properly.
I'm going to go ahead and throw in spouse right here. This seems like a good place to
put
it.
Who has incredible verbal fluency? Who? Is Doug. Doug, did I use the word espouse properly?
I believe you did, actually.
Judges say yes.
Snaps.
Judges say yes.
I don't know.
Yes.
It didn't seem very confident.
What?
I felt like that was like he was saying, like, I need to check real quick.
No, you know what we're going to do?
I'm not a, English major or anything like that, but...
But you did teach English to Japanese people.
I did do that, but we didn't use the
word bitch.
They use a lot of stick figures, bro, and real like see Jane run. Some real basic vocabulary there.
See Jane run. All right.
That's what I thought.
That's what I thought. So, Adam wanted to talk about how he differs a little bit in some of his philosophies. When it comes to training.
Well,
and you were using an example. What's the exercise you were talking about?
Well, this is why I wanted to talk
this
about
this.
This
is my favorite subject.
No, this is good. You can put you can defend Sal, and you guys can team up on me on this situation, which is totally fine.
No, it's cool. Maybe I'll piggyback your piggyback.
I actually would like that. Actually, I would like to see you team up with me for once.
Let's piggy.
I am the winning team.
Anytime
most of the time.
You have three people, there's always a fucking one left out, and
there
I feel like.
I don't know how.
I feel like Adam's trying to do the reverse psychology.
I'll
kind
of feel out where you're going with it, and then I'll
pick the winning team.
I'll come in.
I'll let
whichever
Adam say
one that. Of you has the best argument. I'll start chiming in. Okay,
isn't that when you think about it? It is kind of crazy that this works out with three, because three is normally when they say three, two's a company, three's a crowd.
Yeah,
you know, there's always one guy that does, but I don't feel like that with us.
No
dude.
Yeah. No, this
aside
is,
from Justin being the Duff, I really don't feel like
you know. But the Duff, contributes.
No, but this is the perfect dynamics.
Dude, the Duff can get it.
This is why this
on
is,
his own.
It can't.
That's what the
true.
Difference is.
And this is why this
You're
is
not
why
Duff anymore.
This is why threesomes never work. Like when people talk about having a sexual threesome,
says who?
Is always someone
except
that's,
when it's a pyramid.
Right.
Right.
So we're like a pyramid.
Yeah, we stack well. I don't know who's on the bottom.
You're going to have to break that down for me, right? Because you just lost me with that analogy.
Bro,
it's three-dimensional, bro. One, two, somebody
ever,
on top.
You ever play with Legos?
So that's why it's on top, though.
That's how the three
kind of rotates. That's how we move. It's like this weird wheel.
You sick fucks already made me forget what I wanted to tell you guys. No, here's... I've noticed that.
You know what I've noticed? I've noticed that you take your sweats and you pull them up now to show off your calves now.
Yeah.
Well, no, sometimes it's because I'm fucking hot. A little warm, a little toasty.
Yeah, you know,
plus I do like to intimidate you with them.
You are hot, but you know what you could do is you could take off your fucking winter beanie. That might make you cool down a little bit more than pulling up your sweats.
That keeps them all.
That keeps
Bob
my headphones
Marley
tight
for the podcast.
Does?
Yeah, there's a purpose for everything. Everything.
You know what? That's the only way he keeps his concentration.
Everything
Sal.
I do,
have you noticed
purpose.
That?
There's a purpose for everything.
He's got the beanie on.
Yeah, he's got
purpose for everything.
All right.
So
talk about
snug to his dome.
No, I find this is necessary for us to discuss this or discuss it, debate it, whatever. I think it's important because there, although we all are use the MAPS program as our foundation, we all have created like our own like version of it or added things to it. And I think that I'm the furthest from you guys. I'm not the furthest from MAPS. I'm just the furthest from how you guys have like modified or changed it for you. And the reason being is because you guys, you stick to a lot of staple movements always, which I feel like I do that.
Well, is it fair to say if this was a spectrum of, if we were looking at a spectrum, if we were looking at a graph, and on the left we have, performance-based or performance-focused training.
Okay.
Well, and on the right we have aesthetic-focused training.
Okay.
That we're kind of, Justin's on the left, I'm in the middle, and you're on the right.
That's a pretty good fair analogy.
Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would say, would you say, Justin?
I agree.
Would you agree with that?
So yeah. I'm like, if you guys had a child, it would be me.
I'm like the guy that doesn't have biceps because I don't give a shit.
Except you
it's
do
getting
have
in my way.
Except you do have biceps.
Except it just happens naturally. So yeah.
Yeah. So
just
you know,
like my calves.
I think that's a good way to explain it. Which I think it's important that people understand that, because I also feel like, especially Sal. Sal has a great way of influencing people to believing everything that he says.
We get sucked in.
Yeah, right. We got sucked into an episode earlier today. Sal's like, this is how we're going to do things today.
I almost cared about my abs for a minute. It was like, man.
So where I'm going with this.
They're figuring me out.
Yeah,
fuck.
Yeah, we are. We're on to your
Why
shit.
Do I need those? Ah, yeah. Oh, Sal.
So, I do a lot of stuff that I know that Justin definitely doesn't do, and Sal rarely ever or chooses not to do also, which is a lot of this auxiliary.
Masturbating with canola oil. Yeah. I just don't do that.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense, right?
Yeah, you got to cook with it. What are you doing?
Multitasking.
Yeah, I'm not going to your house and eating any kind of chicken
canola
fingers.
Oil. Yeah. Where did that come from?
I know. That's so disrespectful.
That's so unhealthy.
Yeah, I use olive oil.
Olive oil.
Yeah.
Non-GMO. Fuck.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Come on.
Gross.
What made me think about this was I had saw a post about somebody showing rear delt exercises, and he made a comment about God, I wish I remember who this was, but doesn't matter. It was somebody. It was a one of those pro guys that a billion.
Oh,
people
you
follow.
Matter, buddy. Don't worry. He didn't mean it.
Yeah, I don't mean it. This was like one of these pros who has a million followers or whatever. So some Olympian guy, and he's showing rear delt flies, right? As like one of his favorite go to for rear delts. So rear delts happen to be one of my strengths now, although it was one of my weaknesses, and I love to train them. Now, what this athlete or whatever you want to call him was not explaining to people is there is a model. That's probably a better way to explain it.
Yeah.
Was that there is a I don't want to say a wrong way, but there's a more efficient way to do this if you're specifically targeting a muscle. And I tend to do a lot of this, which this is the part where I feel like is different than Sal and Justin. Is I a lot of times
I would like to say, however, I used to train a lot like you.
Oh, I believe that.
Yeah. So I completely understand where you're going. I honest to God do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, so little things like that. So I know that, if I mentioned to Justin or Sal, like, hey, let's hit some rear delt stuff, then Justin would want to do some fucking power cleans. And, Sal would want to do some like heavy bent over rows or something
Pendulet
along those
rows or something.
Yeah. Right. Something along the lines of that. That's a more gross movement. In my case, I would not that I wouldn't do Pendulet rows or do the cleans. That they just not it may not be the exercise I did that day, and I might be trying to focus and bring my rear delts up. So this may be the second or third time I'm touching them, not including the bent over rows and other big gross movements these guys do a lot of. So this being said, like a rear delt fly or, a bent over rear flies or cable rail flies or whatever angle you're doing it from, the most common mistake I see with rear delts is guys activating their rhomboids. Now, the rear delt is responsible for a very small movement as far as scapular retraction. So it's not the same as like pulling back your entire scapula like you would with your rhomboids.
Yeah, no, the technical term would be the humerus, horizontal humeral abduction. But to a certain extent, just like what you're saying. So in layman's terms, that's me lifting my arm out in front of me. So like imagine I look like a mummy
zombie.
Or a zombie. And then I take my arms and I bring them out so I form a T. That's abduction,
now
horizontal
you're in an
abduction.
Airplane.
But the rear delts are responsible for a small percentage of that range of motion. The rest of it comes from a scapula, which is what you're saying, where the rhomboids activate.
Yeah.
Right.
So, and now how do I do that movement, which is that movement that he just described is pretty much the staple movement for a rear delt fly. But what a lot of people do is they do it in a manner that ends up causing more rhomboid activation than not actually, but as much, if not more, rhomboid action than rear delt. And if I want to get more rear delt, I'm going to stay in a protracted position the entire time, and I'm not going to allow my shoulders to retract all the way back. This puts more emphasis on my rear delts than it does on the rhomboids for this movement. Now, I do a lot of this in a lot of different movements and exercises throughout my workouts, and we don't discuss it and talk a lot about it because we talk about the things that matter the most. Mm-hmm. Now, if you were to compare that exercise to one of Justin's cleans, I would 100% agree that that clean is far more beneficial for overall strength gains, muscle gains, calorie expenditure, the whole bang for your buck. Central nervous system.
But you get judged completely differently. Yeah. And so, like, I completely understand too from your perspective, like, a lot of these things I would never consider because I'm not getting judged for how the back of my arm looks,
right?
You know, in a certain light and what kind of definition I'm presenting. So definition is really, I mean, that's a focus. That's something that you have to understand, like, how to emphasize and improve really very specific muscles in your body, which is that's the sculpting, right? That's what the difference is. It's the sculpt of the body versus, you know, the overall performance of the strength and the movement and what I'm generating, which is what I'm focused on.
Well, I'll tell you, I do rear laterals probably every single shoulder workout. So it is an exercise that I do. That's why I'm kind of between the two of you in terms of your philosophies. But I will say this, this is where I think isolation movements like that have their benefit. This is why I think those, because look, if you don't do rear laterals, can you develop nice rear delts? Yeah. If you are, if you're the kind of person, if you have the genetics or the genes where that rear delt doesn't pop out naturally with normal exercises, will it benefit you to do rear laterals properly? Yes, absolutely. You'll build more rear deltoid doing rear laterals if you by doing them properly in addition to some of those big exercises. But here's why I think it's effective. I don't necessarily think it's the exercise itself that's effective because it's such a small range of motion. It's a small movement. You never use it. Look, rear laterals, if you do them right, you're not using a shitload of weight. I mean, I go and I have really strong posterior chain, including my rear delts, and I don't go heavier than 30 pounds for rear laterals, which most people shouldn't go over 10. 15 pounds if they do them properly. You know, big guys, maybe 20.
Especially if you're staying protracted because you're just...
If you're doing it right.
Yeah.
Right. If you're doing it right.
Because you get in those, you get those rhomboids involved. Yeah, right. And so
it becomes a lot bigger. It becomes movement. A wide yeah. row. It becomes a row is what it looks yeah. like. Their getting elbows, the their elbows involved. Come into their body and they start activating lats and everything else. But here's why I think isolation movements will help develop a weak body part. Because it changes, it helps your body activate that muscle, which might not... Mm. Be
opens
necessarily
a communication channel. There.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Because you know, I've taken clients who need to develop their rear delts, and we do rows, we do all these different things, and then I teach them how to do a rear lateral, which, by the way, is one of the tougher exercises to teach. I'm pretty sure some of you guys agree.
The angles are tough to really.
It's just tough. People have a tough time doing it. Once I teach them to do it right, and they do it right, then they get more rear delt activation when they do a row. Because they've changed that kind of that recruitment pattern.
Absolutely.
And that's where I think the gains come from the most from those movements. Not necessarily the movement itself, although you do get some stimulation there, but it makes those muscles more active in other movements also.
Well, now, don't you feel that contradicts the debate that you and I have been having for a while now on the whole mind-muscle connection piece?
I think it depends. I think it depends on the exercise, and I think it depends on the body part. If we're talking like... lats, chest, shoulder, you know, the rest of the delts, like the front delts, you know, maybe not. But in certain situations, look, the rear deltoid, I've noticed in people, and this is anecdote, I don't know if you guys have noticed this as well, but people either develop them or they don't. You either have to really focus on them or you don't.
Well, what happens to a lot of people too is they are so protracted that they have a hard time engaging them completely like that, you know, unless you're doing a specific movement like that.
Well, see, from a performance perspective, you know, there's benefits to having a bit of a protraction. Like, so if I'm trying to get more strength gains, let's say like what's it called? Basically, like what I'm talking about is between the chest as it's shortening, I'm going to have more strength, right? When I'm in that synergistic dominance, that's what I was. That's what I was trying to, you know, remember. But basically, if I'm if I'm more focused on one particular anterior chain of my body, you know, that's where I'm going to start benefiting more in the lift. So if I'm totally balanced, I'm not going to be as strong in a specific lift.
Well, I think if you're extreme in one sport or direction, you aim for balance, but you're not going to be balanced, right?
Yeah.
You know, if you're a guy who can bench press, you know, 600 pounds.
But you're not going to be, because performance, yeah. You know, you're talking about a very specific movement.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So that's really the point I was just trying to make. It's just
it's an excellent point, because it's just like what we talked about before when you and I benched together.
Yeah.
You know, if you were to look at both of our postures when we were standing up, I may have a better posture than you may have, mm-hmm. but you have a hell of a lot more strength in that plane than I do, for sure. I mean, and it showed when we lifted.
Yeah. So, and that's just it. You're not going to be good at everything. And I think that if you aspire to be, you know, more well balanced, you know, you're gonna be pretty good at most things as far as like movements are concerned. But and then there's also like, you know, if you're overtraining constantly, doing one movement, you want to balance it out because you want to have longevity in that movement, right? So there's also that, like, you don't want to wear it out like completely because you're just completely you know, overtraining that specific movement.
You know, in terms of laterals, just any kind of, whether it's rear lateral, front lateral, side lateral, side laterals people fuck up all the time too. I rarely see anybody do a proper side lateral. Yeah. It turns into some weird, like, clean looking exercise where they externally rotate the humerus and the hands come up, and it's it becomes like a traps exercise. Very rarely do I see someone where they can just get that side delt to bring the arm out to the side.
Yeah.
Very similar to the rear delt movement. Yeah. And it's hard to learn. If you don't have a trainer there who knows how to kind of put you in the right position, it's hard to learn. I would say the best way to learn would be to go real light and really try and feel that area, but don't neglect those big, heavy, gross motor movements.
Well, and this goes back to also that debate too of like the heavy lightweight, the mind muscle connection versus, you know, we know that if you were to perform a movement, you know, like a squat, you know, comparing something like that, there's far more benefits to you maybe having a slight deviated form, being able to squat 500 pounds, than having perfect form and squatting 135, right? You're going to get a lot more gains out of that, the heavy squat with maybe a slight deviated form, than having,
right,
you know, perfect form and doing 135. But then we take a muscle like a side laterals, like you were saying, you know, that's a very small muscle. Well, you trying to work that specific area, doing lateral raises with 50-pound dumbbells versus 20-pound dumbbells in a controlled manner, you know, if you're doing those 50-pound lateral raises and you're using momentum to get you up, you're rolling the shoulder or scapula forward, like you're saying, you're getting all these other movement or other muscles that are engaging, you're probably not benefiting the lateral delts as much as you think you are, and you're getting more gains at other places. So.
Right, because I think, you know, like we talked about the spectrum, right? We're talking about Justin, me, and you. You know, if your focus is on performance, unless there's a recruitment imbalance, like there's a shoulder problem, mm-hmm. then a rear lateral is probably not going to benefit you as much as like heavy rows and cleans, right? You because if I get stronger in a rear lateral, how much is that going to translate on the field?
Right.
Probably not much. Whereas a clean or a heavy row, if I add weight to that, mm-hmm. it's going to translate a lot better. However, if you want to change the way you look in a specific way, then you can start incorporating some of these movements.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, you know, we use the word sculpt, and I hate that fucking word because it's muscles don't sculpt, but I think you get the idea, right?
Well, I think too, like, I guess I'm more focused on the overall movement. So if we talk about a movement, it's usually a big thing, right? You're using your upper body, lower body together, your core, like everything is simultaneously firing. And so anything that resembles more of a simultaneous firing of muscles, like I obviously want more contribution from more muscles in the movement, right? And so maybe there's some benefit to isolating and activating some muscles that, you know, otherwise might not have contributed. However, the benefit and the gains that I'm going to want to focus on the most have to be like more involved. Like I have to emulate a lot more movement in my exercise because I need to train my body to be able to recruit everything together in harmony. And, you know, as far as like being aesthetic goes, that's really that, you know, that's not really a consideration that you need to focus on completely. However, it will benefit you to incorporate, you know, to build overall strength in your physique. But, you know, you definitely need that definition.
Yeah, it depends
all
on
all over.
It depends on your goals. I mean, yeah. Our average listener wants both. I would say the average
and
listener.
And this is why I wanted to bring this topic up, because I feel like sometimes.
So they want you, Sal. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, that's exactly. That's what you want. That's how he's.
I just circled that.
Did you catch
that?
Exactly. I'm glad you called that shit out. I'm glad you called that bullshit out.
See, he's trying to ninja us again.
Yeah, he did. Nice try, fucker. You
know, I want abs again.
Yeah, I'm on
Doug,
bro.
Doug, edit that last part out. Just leave it at when I said.
That's exactly why I wanted to talk about this, because I really feel like we talk heavily around overall health and the beginner and the average person, what's best for your body. And we talk a lot about those gross movements, but you know, that's not all of our listeners. We have a lot of competitors. We have a lot of trainers. We have a lot of people that are fitness gurus already and kind of know their stuff. And they're coming to us for even more advanced information. So I feel like this is why I wanted to kind of go down this road is, you know, here we talk all about these movements and I'm like, okay, well, I do all those movements too, but I do a lot of other stuff that we don't talk about.
Yeah.
But because it's, and we don't talk about it because that's my world, right? That's my whole aesthetic thing or whatever. Mm-hmm. But in reality, there's a lot of people that do follow us or that are connected to us or that listen to us.
No, it's important. Yeah, you're definitely, you know, distinctive in the way that you train because you're trying to look a certain way.
Right. And my point is not that that's not good. My point is, that also has a benefit. Yeah, besides looking good, if you incorporate it properly, you're not going to get worse. You're probably going to move a little better.
Well, I think Justin said it really best when he said that what it does is, and I guess it's probably a perfect example of my overall strength and performance of my physique is that I'm not really great at anything. I'm not. Mm-hmm. And when people ask me like, oh, what do you bench? Oh, what do you squat? Oh, I'm really not great at anything. But
you're balanced.
Yeah, I'm pretty damn good at everything, though. There's not a lot of things that someone's going to smoke me at. You know, like I can hang overall on a lot of basic, you know, your big exercises because I do a very good job of symmetrically balancing my physique by the way I train. So that being said, like that to me is like being balanced, being aesthetic. Like that's what I'm all about. Now, absolutely, there's a lot of guys that could get under a squat rack and out squat me and out deadlift me and out bench press me, no doubt, you know, in my weight class too, you know, whatever. But I, you know, I've always joked around and it's partially a joke, but a lot of it's true. Like I care about how I look, you know, that's what the physique that I've been working towards and building is I want. And let's be honest, like you said, you're going to get health benefits. I mean, I'm healthy because of that. Right. Like I feel good because of that. I've got great posture because of that. Like I've got good strength because of that. You know, I've got good endurance because of that.
But. Well, the approach is different. So the athletic trainer is looking for balance also. Actually, balance is the goal for the athletic trainer, just like it is for the physique competitor.
No, but not necessarily true.
It is.
No, it's not. Ask Justin.
I'll tell you what.
I'll let him run his thought.
I'll tell you what I mean.
I was going to say, you better smash on that before
I do. Here's what I mean. I don't mean for a sport. I mean, if you take a client and you're training them and you're an athletic trainer, you're looking at balance from a movement.
Why are you using athletic? You mean a personal trainer?
Sure, but with an athletic background. With a personal trainer with an athletic background who's training people for balance is looking for movement balance, whereas for physique you're looking for how you look about.
I see your angle.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That was a confusing angle. Just so you know, though.
Okay. No, it's okay.
Right.
Yeah, but no, I got you, Sal.
No, it's all
you're on the right track.
Balance is always the goal,
right?
But there's balance for movement and there's balance for how you look.
Yeah.
So someone can look very balanced.
Okay.
Like they can, you could look at them with
your everyday person. You want that because you want them to move properly and have good mechanics.
Right.
You know, whether they're pushing, pulling, whether they're, you know, supporting their spine, whether they're sitting down upright. You know, you want them to be able to present themselves properly and also like you know be conscious of how they're moving in order to prevent injury.
I'm not saying one's better than the other. I'm just saying that if you look at someone from a how they look standpoint. They can look very, very balanced, but they could be very unbalanced movement-wise.
Yeah.
And on the flip side...
Oh, sure, absolutely.
On the flip side, someone can be very balanced movement-wise, but then you could tear them apart physique-wise, and you say, well, your quads are too small, and you're so...
Oh, okay,
So for the average... What I'm saying is for the average listener, The average listener probably does want both. They want to look good, but they also want to have that balance of performance. But then we have on the extremes, on the other extremes, we have people who compete, like you, who really don't give a shit how much they lift in any particular lift. They just need to look a certain way.
Yeah.
And then the other extreme, we have athletes that could give a rat's ass what they look like. They just want to be able to perform a certain way or whatever.
Right.
Or even, look, how many times have you guys had clients, I have, where someone says, yeah, I mean, I want to look okay, but really I just want to feel good.
Yeah.
You know, so so I try to take both approaches. I love performance, but I also like looking a certain way. So I do incorporate a lot of bodybuilding stuff, mm-hmm. and that's where my background is. My background, I started lifting like a bodybuilder. I want to look a certain way. I started lifting weights because I was skinny, and I wanted to build muscle and look like a bodybuilder. And I didn't play sports. I mean, yeah, I did compete in judo and stuff, but I didn't lift weights for that. I lifted weights because I want to look a certain way. Yeah.
Well, I think, and to give you credit, that's why, like, when I went through your program and I definitely saw in MAPS, like, for the general person, because you're right. People do want to look good and they want to have, like, performance that they can benefit from. They want to have a good bench. They want to have a good deadlift, you know, all these kinds of things. They want that, but at the same time, you know, they really do care about how they look. And I mean, that's the general consensus I get from everybody that comes in for training with me too.
Yeah.
You know, it's very rare. It's like a fraction of the population that comes to me that has very specific sports related goals. I always get really excited when those people come see me. Right. But they are so few and they only last, you know, so long, and then they're playing their sport. And it's like, if I'm going to speak to the general trainer out there, that's a training clients, you do not want to focus and specialize in just athletes.
No, you've just cut your client base down so small. It's true.
It is a bad idea.
I will say what we're highlighting right now, though, is a great topic. It's such a good topic, Adam. I'm so glad you brought this up because exercise is. This is why. Exercise is so fucking awesome, especially weight training. Of all forms of exercise, weight training is the most individualized. I can train anybody with weights. You could come in and be 89 years old, have bad spine, have bad knees, whatever, and you can lift weights a certain way. You could be a 20-something-year-old kid with crazy genetics who wants to be Mr. Olympia, and I could train you a certain way. You could have just the average 40-year-old come in, you know, business person. It's so individualized, and you should individualize it.
Yeah.
Just like what we do. We train. There's things that we do that are similar, but there's things that we do that are very different because we're different people.
And think of the programs that we bash. They're the ones that are like your cookie cutter.
One size fits all.
Yeah. It's the one size fits all. Like, we have one workout. Everybody do this workout and scale it to meet your needs. Bullshit.
Yeah.
Okay. If you believe in that, you're a dumbass.
Yeah.
Go to somebody who's qualified that addresses you as an individual and wants to improve you.
Yeah.
Not some class.
Well, hey, what do we promote with the programs that we sell on our site?
That they're guides and there's evolution.
We call them guides.
Right.
Even the program, even the MAPS program, which has a specific workout in it. The only reason why the workout is included, ladies and gentlemen, is because we give a general guideline of what we'd recommend to most people. But we totally encourage experimentation with it because we know very well that. You know, look, we talk about how squats are such a great exercise. And for most people, squats will destroy any other leg exercise. Most people. But there are people out there who probably will do better with leg pressing.
Yeah, there's exceptions.
It's just the way it is. There's pro bodybuilders. Look, I'm not going to argue with Dorian Yates, who said he liked the leg press better than the squat. Or, you know, he used to like to bench press at a slight decline. He said he hit his chest better. Hmm. You know, everybody's a little different. Everybody's built a little different. Their body moves a little different.
Yeah, you have different levers, you know, like just as far as like your skeletal structure, that's going to define how your muscles interact.
No, I think the debate, when we have the debate over mind to muscle connection, this is where I get the issue with mind to muscle connection. I get the issue when I see the everyday person, I see this much more in both women and then young dudes who want to build muscle. So I see this a lot in women too, where they, and this is just because they've been advertised this bullshit for so long, is they'll take these little tiny movements and they'll be like, okay, oh, I need to build my glutes. I'm going to do this little, I'm going to get on all fours and like do a little dog pee exercise to make my, because it isolates the glute. Ooh, I can feel it burn right in my butt. Isolate it. Just feel it in the glutes. Don't feel it anywhere else. And when I see that, I'm like, okay, you're not going to build your glutes that way.
Yeah.
Or when I see like the 15-year-old kid in the gym who's going through the bodybuilding magazines And he's like, oh, we got to do all these different angles for my biceps and all these different angles for my shoulders. And the kid is 145 pounds. And I'm
half
like,
reps.
Go bench, go deadlift, and go squat.
Yeah.
That's the issue. And I guarantee we all agree on that.
No, and and that's something that I want to make very clear about, that, you know, MAPS is still my foundation. You know, everything that's in MAPS, I still do all of that and some. You know, that's just it, is that I utilize all of those big gross movements because they are the biggest bang for your buck. I would be an idiot not to. And I like to use the analogy of, like, you know, if you're the guy who's, you know, you get the wood log and we're sculpting away at it, and it's like, you know, I most certainly, when I first start sculpting, I'm chainsawing away. I've got a chainsaw and I'm just chopping off pieces until I get down. And then once I kind of get down, now I bring out my little scalpel. And now I'm starting to carve and shave and do little things like that. But most certainly, I would be an idiot to be carving and shaving with that little scalpel on a full log that has...
It would take you forever
and
just to get down to where
you
wanted.
And that is what you're talking about right now, which is what we see. Yeah. And I see it all the time, and it drives me crazy when I see the lady who's 150 pounds overweight and she's doing machine bicep curls. You know, and it's like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, seriously?
Yeah,
like,
no, seriously.
She goes machine bicep curls, and she goes to hammer screen chest press, and then she goes over to the lat pull down machine.
Everyone is like seated.
Yeah.
It's like,
exactly.
Do not sit down.
It's crazy, right?
You gotta lose. Yeah. If you're just big, just do me a favor. Move. You know, you can carry weights with you, whatever, but just move.
Hey, big people, move.
Just move.
Well, yeah.
Do not sit down.
It's just,
let's start with that.
There's no reason for that person to do that. And I guess the other extreme analogy is the skinny kid who weighs 105 and he's trying to build. Like, there is no reason for him to be doing those same machine exercises and those little basic movements. Like, dude, get on there, squat, bench press, deadlift, do those big gross movements that are going to give you the overall gains. And then when you start to see this shape come, then you could start getting picky if you want to be like, hey, I need to work on more of my chest, or hey, I feel like my legs just aren't all the way there, or hey, my rear delts aren't there, whatever. Then you can pull the scalpel out.
You know, I'd like to take it a step further even and say you could do almost any isolation movement with free weights. You know, the old school guys who lifted, like, you know, Serge Dubre, that guy's body was like sculpted. And they used cables. I think cables were as far as their machines went, right?
Yeah.
They didn't really have anything else in terms of machines, you know, were concerned. So, I mean, yeah, I would say incorporate some of those, you know, and experiment with your body. But if you're a beginner, focus on the big things first until you get to that point. Or if you have a good trainer who's teaching you how to do them properly.
Yeah, you rarely – I mean, even – I'm trying to think right now. I'm trying to think what what machine I was on last. I use cables – pretty frequently.
You know, I don't know how you guys feel about this. I almost don't consider cables machines. Like, cables are like in the middle. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I use cables quite a bit.
They're so free moving.
Yeah, well, that's just it. I like the movement of it. It allows, you know, a different stimulation, and it's just, you know, yeah, you feel like you just have so many different angles.
It's like a free weight, but you've just changed gravity.
You know? Well, and you've also, now you've captured 100% time under tension.
Right.
Which you can't do with actually free weights.
No.
So it does.
Right. No, there's a curve of how much weight you're lifting with free weights just because of the way gravity works.
So there is a nice little benefit to incorporating that stimulation, which you can argue and say you can get from machines too, but the machines totally, I mean, you're sitting down, you're in isolation.
You're locked into.
Yeah, you're locked.
Do you know that most machines are designed for
rehabilitation?
Well, besides that, they're designed for a man who's 5'9", 160 pounds.
Oh, an actual, you have a size of what he's supposed to be?
Yeah, that's like, and then what they do is they try to scale it up and down a little bit. But if you're kind of tall or big or short, or I'm sure, because you're tall, I'm guarantee you've been in machines, you're like, no matter where you adjust it.
Almost all machines, whether it be a preacher curl machine or whatever, I get, like, I have to stand or do something weird, like, to get on it, you know,
right.
Like, it's not, I don't just use it the way it's set. It's like I have to adjust myself a certain way to
that's too
it.
I you know, women have such a hard time with those machines, like getting it all set to like certain levels, because, you know, like you said, it's specifically geared for that male that's 5'9" or whatever, and I mean, that's where we saw that surge of female specific machines that were like painted all cutesy and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Which was irritating, but I understand the frustration there. I mean, there was a lot of machines that just, you know, you couldn't even work with it if you had a female client. It's just, it was silly.
Go ahead.
Don't you find it kind of crazy too that, like, the people that are using the machines are like, if I saw like a another bodybuilder guy, and he's in there and he's doing like preacher curls and machine. Like, okay, he's focusing on building his biceps, and I get it, whatever he's doing. So more power to you. I do the same thing too. But I find it weird when you see the kid or the girl who's overweight, but yet that's a majority of what you see on there, you know? And in reality, it's kind of flip-flopped on who should be where, you know? Like, it should be, if you're a beginner and you're starting, you should be in the free weight area. It's more important that you than the guy who's all chiseled and all ripped out.
For some reason, it's more intimidating, right? It's just easier to jump onto a machine and be supported.
If I give you a dumbbell, a dumbbell is about 1 million possibilities. I could do a whole fucking host of different things. It's like a piece of clay. I can turn it into whatever I want.
I mean, you can shake it.
You can do whatever you want.
Throw it over your head.
Yeah. If I get on a machine, it does one thing. CrossFit. And so I think.
No. I disagree. Because that's the newest thing on fucking Instagram.
Oh, I hate that. That's God newest, damn it. I hate
is
that.
Is the show, the guys.
Let me show you how to use the preacher curl to make it work your glutes. And they do some weird
Check this out. If you twist to the side on this chest press machine, you can get the upper right hand corner of your chest.
Creative moron.
You know what I've seen? I've seen one thing, and I've seen it several times now. So I think it's becoming a thing. You know the weight-assisted pull-up machine?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's got like... So weight-assisted pull-up machine.
Oh, girls are using that for like step-downs or something?
They're using it for step-downs. Yes. So there's a plate that goes under your feet and you put weight on.
Yes.
And it lifts a certain percentage of your body to do pull-ups. What they're doing is they're standing with one leg on the machine and then one leg on the plate and then like doing a leg press down.
Oh my God. It's like, what gets your glutes.
What are you doing? Yeah. Go use a leg press like that. Like, what are you doing on that shit? Or step up on something.
It hits it like in the middle part. Did you know that?
I don't get it.
I feel like there's a thing, and I remember having trainers work for me, and I remember them doing a lot of funny stuff like this. I feel like it's like this thing that when you start to learn and understand biomechanics, I think it's like this thing that you want to do to show that, like, oh, I could show you how you could use this for something else, actually. Yeah. If you actually stand on one leg here and press this down, it's like a glute extension.
That's so embarrassing. Well,
I really feel like this is what it is. You know?
Well, let's be honest. If you're training for years and you've got 8 clients in a day, sometimes you get bored.
Yeah, right? I guess that's
Sometimes it's, look, have you guys never gotten bored? Kind of like, you know what?
We're gonna do
some weird shit today.
Yeah, you just kind of check yourself. Yeah, you're like,
I'm tired.
God,
I've already trained 6 people.
This is way too creative. I need to step back a little bit here.
Yeah, we're gonna just make up something. Right,
you
now.
Know, the other big one I see now is guys doing the shoulder press on the leg press. So they get down and they use the leg press sled and they push the
Shut up.
Yeah, you haven't seen that? No, oh, that's like the new thing. You see a lot.
That is really dumb.
It's like that's what you would do if you were super, like if you only had one machine.
I was gonna say
you know, like all I have is a leg press. I can't afford any of the equipment. What am I gonna do? I know I can just invent
shit. If I had a boulder, you know, I'll do all kinds of weird stuff.
Dude, right? It's exactly what it is. If you only had a leg press, how do I do triceps, chest, back on this? You'd have to get creative, but you could do it. You could figure a way out.
It just goes to show you how much of the fitness industry, of the people that go to work out, how much of it has to do with novelty.
Yeah.
Like how much of it has to do with different. You know, like, well, let's go flip a tire.
People are
because it's a tire and it's different. Don't flip a weight. Flip a big fucking tire because it's different. Like that kind of stuff. Like it's got to be different. Like I'm going to lift a chain.
Well, I think part of it too is that we're just over entertained. You know, like I swear to God, like everything on TV, everything in magazines, like everything is like it has to be this big production. And that carries over to everything. Like if you're in a meeting and you're just talking like, oh yeah, like that was some shitty meeting, you know, let's spice it up, you know, somebody juggle next time or keep my interest a little bit, you know, and like, let's get flashier graphics and, you know, cornflower blue, you know, all that kind of stuff. I'm just saying that like, I know this is a fact. And that's why like some certain projects I work on and everything, it really is entertainment alongside like the nuts and bolts of what works, because people are freaking
what would gyms zombies look like?
To entertainment.
Well, think about it this way. What would most gyms look like if they were just designed for what works? There'd be
a rack of dumbbells
there'd be racks
and a barbell.
Yeah, dumbbells, racks, some benches. And they'd be like, all right, we're done.
That's it. That's it. But that's they'd not be like, sexy enough.
Like, where's the treadmill outside? You could just walk
around.
Could
you imagine? Could you imagine, okay, like the square footage of like the gym that we work out in, which is pretty good size, probably 30,000 square feet. If all it was dumbbells, barbells, and benches, dude, that would look crazy. 16 flat benches, 16 incline benches.
You'd have some hardcore ass members.
That's what my like high school gym looked like.
Really?
Yeah. We were like, and it looked like we were just poor, right? That's what it looked like. But it was like this one box. I mean, everybody was in there at once, and it was just benches, squat racks, and dumbbells. And that's it.
Dude,
that's all we had.
When we're rich, can we do this? Can we build a gym like that? That's just like that, just a huge gym. So all the main stuff.
You know damn well if we build a gym, it's going to be ridiculous, stupid, like stuff that nobody needs just because it's fucking our gym.
Yeah, that's true.
You know that's going to happen,
it's
dude.
True.
Yeah, I'll buy like a surf machine.
So, you know,
I'll be doing aerial yoga on top of you guys.
Yeah, we need some rings over here. We need one of those infinity lap pools that makes you swim in one place. We need a place where we can wrestle fucking
dude,
gorillas.
That'd be awesome.
See?
Yeah, you just swim.
You know, I guess there is a piece to it that is, you know, for mental stimulation, right? And for sanity reasons, you know, like, okay, sometimes I'm bored I've squatted and deadlifted 3 times this week. I just feel like doing something different today. You know what I'm saying? I think I am going to go to the seated row.
I will do some kickbacks.
Yeah, right. I think I will do some tricep, get some glute kicks.
When's the last time? I haven't done a tricep kickback in years.
I haven't in a long time.
Kickbacks?
Oh my God. No.
I've done skull crushers the other day. That was hilarious.
Oh, really? That's a good exercise.
I do skull crushers a lot.
I do them every week.
I know you guys do. I know. I was saying from my experience, it was silly.
He's like, why am I not bench pressing this? This is stupid.
This feels weird.
Give me a barbell, please.
I'm isolating.
Dude, such a punk, dude. What a punk. You know what? Next week, I'm taking you guys through my workouts. So it's going to be an all meathead workout next week. That's what we're doing.
It's a bro workout. You know what? You're due.
Yeah,
I'll come and
I've been going over and doing a bunch of functional shit, bro. Right.
You've been a good boy.
I've been pushing some sleds and squatting and
look at your body, how amazing it is right now.
It is. Yeah. It is amazing. See?
Thank you.
He agrees.
Thank you. I feel a little fluffy, though, after all the drinking we had yesterday.
Well, there's that.
Yeah.
And let's also not forget to mention what a dick you are when I came in here trying to eat lasagna and share it with you guys. Fucking first thing you said, well, how's your abs, Sal? How's those abs? The day after we were at the pool, and I am bulked out a little bit.
He hits you in your low.
I am a little bulked out. But that picture we posted, the fucking angle, bro. Dude, the delt looks so good.
I'm still butthurt about that, bro, because you know what? You always hog the outside, bro.
Booty.
You're notorious for hogging the outside, dude.
I ain't standing in the between you and fucking Craig. that's just stupid.
Yeah, that's
why would I do that? I'm a strategist. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to stand on the outside, angle a little bit, boom. Yeah, make sure my delt comes out. Yeah.
Dick, bro, you're a dick.
See, I stepped forward to look a little bigger, but that one time I stepped too close.
The Jabba picture.
Yeah.
How come it looks like
you're beware?
How come in that picture that we took yesterday, it looks like you're punching Ben in the dick?
It looks like he's about to jerk him off. That's what it looked like.
How funny. Ben is like in the shadows, too. Like, right? He's all the way in the shadows. Yeah, he gets all the love. Oh,
I know.
Oh, my God, Ben Zeba. But you can't even fucking see
him. All you have to do is smile. Yeah, sure. And then you're like,
he's perfect.
Ba-ding.
Here's my panties.
He's perfect.
Enjoy them.
Thank you for listening to Mind Pump. For more information about this show and to get valuable free resources from Sal, Adam, and Justin, visit us at www.mindpumpradio.com. Until next time, this is Mind Pump.